Welcome to the Grant Writing Seminar with your host, Dr. Eurydice Moore, on WGCR.us.
I'm Dr. Eurydice Moore, the Grant Writer at Safe Haven Community Skills Center, and your host for this half hour of the Grant Writing Seminar. Safe Haven is a non-for-profit 501c3 corporation which provides alternative educational services and resources. We service the local, national, and international communities. At Safe Haven, we provide skill-based workshops in grant writing, case management, non-for-profit management, and financial literacy. We also have a six-week course for those that would like to become certified grant writers and set up their own businesses. You may contact me at my website, numerical1010skillcenter.com, or thegrantwriter@myspace.com. And if you miss any shows, you may tune in to Prodomatic, thegrantwriter.com. Today's show is a continuation of grant writing information for faith-based organizations such as churches, non-for-profit, Christian-based organization. This is part three, and this is our last series. And you have time to contact people to let them know that we are on the air. Now, let me give you the grant writing information for Christian. Now, if you are of faith-based origin, you can log on to www.grants.gov. Now, before you can apply for any federal grants, you must be registered. And there's a 2 to 3 week process. It's going to take you 2 to 3 weeks to be registered. And once you are registered, you may apply for grants for your organization. Now, we all know that President Bush have created and promoted in his executive order the faith-based initiative, which is monies available that allow faith-based organization, churches, or Christian organization to apply for federal funding. So you can go on to www.grants.gov. Now, there's also another organization, ChristianGrants.com, who provide this organization provide a directory of grants funders that funds ministries, churches, and faith-based organization. And you can log on to www.ChristianGrants.com. And periodically, they have specials where you can attain online directories at a nominal cost. And they also have individual directory features, ministry map features, and they have grant opportunities, and they update their information on a monthly basis so that you can stay on top. And this is so well worth it. So well worth it. So you want to take advantage of that. So log on. And you want to catch the sales when there's a sales in regard to purchasing directory. Now, the last two shows I did with, we had a guest, Tina Phillips, Reverend Tina Phillips, who's the pastor of White Pearl Ministry, who had mentioned her ministry of helping ministries and churches and faith-based organizations to organize and to critique and to be professional as possible. And I share with you the scripture about Caesar, how it's important for us in the faith-based community. And Safe Haven is a faith-based organization. and how important it is to be able to render unto God the things that are God, and to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. And I share with you in the book of Mark, and I believe it's the 7th chapter, where Jesus was approached, and they asked him, should we pay tribute to Caesar? In other words, should we even pay attention to the world, to the government? Because Caesar represents the world. And Jesus said, will someone bring me a penny? And they brought Christ a penny, and he looked at it, and he said, whose inscription is this? In other words, whose image, whose picture is on this penny? And everybody said, Caesar. And then the wisdom that his father, God, gave him, he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and render unto God the things that are God. So, in being a born-again believer, we cannot be so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. Even though we are in the world and yet not of the world and don't operate on the world system, we have to respect that the world system do exist, and there are certain criteria and things that will be required of us. So we need to know how to operate in the spiritual as well as the natural. We're dealing with two worlds here. And we need to render which each is requiring, giving God his due and giving Caesar, who represents the world, his due. Okay, now, someone may mention what, may be thinking and like, oh, Dr. Moore, what do this have to do with grant writing? All right, I shared some horror stories with you a couple of weeks ago, last two taping. If you cannot handle God's business, you will not be able to handle Caesar's business. And we shared situations over the air where people just messed up with funders. And if you can handle God's business, you can handle anybody else's business. Now, today's show, I'm going to share and let you know that there are people in the clergy, there are pastors that are going to jail over church funds. I want to strongly recommend to you, whether you have a church or a ministry or a faith-based organization, that you have everything together before you even think about approaching funders and requesting funding for program, project, or services. All right, now I'm going to read something, and it is very disturbing. The source that I'm going to share with you is from Church Management and Tax Conference. Periodically, they come to Illinois and the Chicagoland area, and they share information, and they ask a question. 25 years to life. Can you afford to miss this seminar? They give seminar, and they have some case studies in this brochure where churches have gotten in trouble for the misappropriation of funds and the mishandling of finances. And if you cannot handle the finances in the house of God, guess what? You're going to mess up with the funders. And you can and you will go to jail for the mishandling and the misappropriation of money from funders. And you will have the Internal Revenue Service on your back. So before you even think about grant money, let's make sure the house of God records is in order. And many times funders are going to want to see those records because they want an idea, even though they haven't gave you a penny. They want to know ahead of time what is your record keeping system is like. Do you have receipts and shoebox? Are you recording accurately? Are checks being written out properly? They want an idea of your record keeping system. So, all right, let me share some of these case studies. All right, in Texas, a prominent televangelist couple accused and failed housing limited partnership. Creditors have even sued or threatened legal action against the housing company. Michigan, An elected official faces embezzlement charges after being accused of taking thousands of dollars from his church. Minnesota, the former president of a defunct non-denominational Christian college pleads guilty to all 23 counts of an indictment charging him with defrauding a student financial aid program. Now, people, when you start obtaining money from the government, obtaining money from the arena of the circular natural organization, you must have accountability in place and you must be careful. Now, when I'm saying being careful with their money, you need to be careful with money, period. In Virginia, a man who conducted investment seminar and billed himself as a financial pastor pleaded guilty to federal charges of biking Christian investors out of nearly $20 million. Kentucky, a church pastor purchased a new poach with some of the more than $700,000 he stole from his church. A 7-count federal indictment indicates the pastor made a false loan application, evaded federal taxes for 4 years, and transferred stolen money across state lines to buy expensive automobiles. Apparently, a member of the congregation wrote the state police raising concern about the church finances. Now, some people might be getting a little bit upset right about now. Yes, a pastor can have a salary. People of God, make sure your pastor have salary and that it is enough to cover his living expenses, take care of his housing, his transportation, and his food, so that you can avoid these kinds of problems. Now, some folks might be really, really, really upset about now. You're like, nobody's saying anything to the dope dealer who's driving Cadillacs, and these days they're driving SUVs and Jaguars and so on and so forth. Yes, it's true. I believe the people of God should be prosperous. And I believe that God wants us wealthy as well as healthy. The patriarch was rich. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the children of Israel was rich. They owned land when they moved into Israel. They owned land. They owned the vineyard. They owned houses and they owned properties. So yes, God wants us to prosper. This is his world. The earth is the world and the fullness thereof and they that dwell within. And it is his desire for us to prosper, but yet he wants us to be good stewards. He does not want us to be corrupt. He does not want the spirit of greed to come and take over us. And most of all, and first of all, he does not want us to forget the very reason that we were called, created, and ordained to be in this earth to do a work for him, which is to reconcile mankind back into right fellowship with God. We all know about the fall, about Adam and Eve. We all know that Eve ate the fruit. Man wants to say it was an apple, but Eve ate a fruit. God had gave Adam dominion over the earth. Eve ate the fruit. Adam ate it right behind her. And there was a transferring of the wealth and the dominion and the power that God had gave man to Satan, who is the little god of this world. So, to say all of that, you know your history. All you got to do is pull out Genesis chapter 1. We have to be good stewards. And being good steward over what God has entrusted to us personally and to the church world, we can then be good steward when we're dealing with grant makers. You have been listening to the Grant Writing Seminar. Your host for this half hour, Dr. Eurydice Moore, and we're covering grant writing information for the faith-based community.
We're living in a time where everybody is struggling for their lives. They're stressed, the depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. To my brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa, struggling with AIDS, in Brazil, the States.
I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister, I speak life. You are the head and not the tail. You will prevail. I speak life. Don't give up the fight for your life. You shall live and not die.
Let's not lose another person to a senseless death. Substance abuse, gang violence, suicide because of low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.
Help me sing it.
I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother.
Say it again.
I speak life, you are the head and not the tail. You will prevail.
Say.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Grant Writing Seminar. Your host of this half hour, Dr. Eurydice Moore, and we are covering today's topic on grant writing information for the faith-based community. And I would like to also announce some grant writing opportunities. I mentioned it in the beginning of the show. Some of you might have just tuned in. There's two websites that I would like to encourage you to log on to, and that's www.grants.gov. And you can look at that page, and you're really interested in the faith-based initiative that is part of the executive order of President Bush. And monies are going to be available. You can apply for money as of September 12th. You can start applying for the faith-based initiative money. But in order to apply, you must be registered. And this page, the home page, will explain how to register your organization, your church, ministry, to be able to qualify for a grant. Now, also another website that you would like to check out is Christian, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, grants.com. And this is beautiful. You need to log on to this. This is strictly a directory just for churches, ministry, and faith-based organization. And there are lots of pages you can go on. There are samples so you can get an idea of the funders. They have sample links to over 175 foundations, sample grant proposal, grant writing tips, monthly updates of all existing foundations, new foundations added monthly. The directory will also help you in your building project, program support, equipment, renovation, youth program, outreach ministry, mission trips, seed money, and operating fund. This is very instrumental for you. So those are the two information that I have for you. Now back to this. We're looking at case studies. In Pennsylvania, the former pastor of a local church is jailed on charges. He swindled his parishioners out of their donation for personal benefits. So are you saying that people don't want you to have anything, Pastor? No. It's all about documentation. It's all about order. It's all about record, proper record keeping. It's all about accountability. So you need to work on your church funds and then think about attaining funds from grant makers. In New Jersey, a local pastor with a taste for expensive automobiles and a Caribbean vacation is charged by a grand jury with stealing more than $20,000 from his parish. In Arizona, police arrest a local pastor under investigation for allegedly using about $60,000 in church funds for personal expenses. The pastor is booked into jail on suspicion of felony theft and fraud. In Connecticut, a pastor is charged with defrauding a credit union and using the proceeds to participate in an email scam in which con artists pose as Nigerian governmental officials. The pastor is charged with first-degree larceny and third-degree forgery. In North Carolina, a former church office manager is charged with embezzling more than $41,000 and faces up to 25 years in prison. All right, the controller for a local church, also in North Carolina, is accused of embezzling more than $700,000 and charged with felony theft with embezzlement. Now, what is all this about? It's about proper record keeping. Nobody is not trying to keep you from having a car or a place to stay. It's about proper paperwork. And that's what you want to work on. In Tennessee, a well-known musician who bridged from circular music into gospel is charged with income tax evasion in Tennessee and Florida. The minister's wife and mother-in-law also are charged. If you are helping someone or assisting someone with money, everybody has to be careful. Now, when you're dealing with this faith-based money, they have periodic workshops that will tell you how to set up your records. You cannot commingle funds. You cannot mix the funds of the ministry with the funds from the government. They must be kept separate. You must have separate records. And yes, you can get government money, although you have a church, but your social service program or your activities must be separate from your house of worship activity at separate times and separate rooms, and you must have separate records. You cannot jumble everything together. Things must be kept separate. I have, since working with this, met pastors that are afraid of government money. All of the money down here, including the gold and the silver, belongs to God. And yes, you can have government money. You just have to know how to manage it. Now, some more case studies. Louisiana. In Louisiana, a local priest improperly transferred church money to his exclusive personal account. It is caught through a church audit. Did you hear that? Improperly transferred church money. There is a system and a way to do everything legally. You want to be legal. In Florida, the pastor of a local church is arrested on a felony count of sending pornography to minors. In New Jersey, a local pastor is charged with disorderly conduct and drinking outside of a public establishment and booked into jail. In Illinois, a local bishop is sentenced to 18 months in prison for not paying taxes on more than $500,000 stolen from his church over a five-year period. In New York, a local pastor is sentenced to 5 years probation in order to repay more than $31,000 in stolen church funds used to pay for personal luxury. In Arizona, the pastor of a local church is arrested for stealing $67,000 from the church and spending the entire amount on himself. Now, we're going to take a break here. Now, what you want to do, I'm reading case study situation. There is an organization that can help you get your records together. And this is Church Management, and they're located in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And if you want a phone number, additional information, you can contact me. Oh, here's a number. 800-345-9117. You can contact them and find out when is their next seminar so that you can have your church record set up properly before you even dream about going to Caesar and trying to use Caesar money. Okay? This is for your benefit. Pastors are going to jail. Church leaders are going to jail. Secretaries, office managers are going to jail. And there's no need to do that. Okay. Now, in Pennsylvania, a local pastor is sentenced to 13 months in prison on tax fraud charges arising from money he was accused of stealing from a church member. In Tennessee, the pastor of a local church is arrested and charged with obtaining money by false pretenses when he wrote checks totaling more than $10,000 on a closed bank account. Now, people, some of these case studies, we're looking at the character and the integrity. Now, in order to attain grant money, now, we are of the kingdom of God. Therefore, we're supposed to be portraying the love of God and the character of Jesus Christ, his son, and which means that we're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, peace, temper, meekness, gentleness, goodness, faith, and long-suffering. And in the book of Proverbs, is very instrumental on telling you how to handle day-to-day life and how to deal with your neighbors as well as your family and business. So I want to encourage you to get into the book of Proverbs. We need integrity in handling not just God business, but in coming in contact with Caesar, because everybody do not know the Lord, and you don't want to bring a reproach on the gospel. You know, you don't want to stink in the sight of God. So there's some things that is happening out of ignorance. Because many times, you know, the scripture said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. There's a lack of knowledge. Some things are happening that is not intentional. It's just a lack of knowledge. Ignorant. And then some people out here deliberately doing things. You know, let's call it like it is. But it does not have to be that way. Now, I gave you a number, and you can call these people. And I have many, many more cases to share with you about these different situations. You do not want to end up in jail. And I got a little bit of time to share just a few more. And in Tennessee, the pastor of a local church is arrested and charged with obtaining money by false pretense. Oh, I read that to you already. I'm sorry. A well-known Texas pastor is accused and convicted for taking money from his church. Large expenditures of church funds are unaccounted for. Monies have to be accounted for, whether it's the Lord money or the money that you're going to get from a circular organization. Additionally, the high-end lifestyle of the pastor caught the attention of the public and eventually the authority. The church pastor is sentenced to a prison term. Now, that concludes the grant writing information for the church, for the faith-based community, which means let's get the house of God in order before we even dream about taking on grant money. God bless. Godspeed. I hope you love me. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.